Our scripture this morning is taken from the second chapter of Matthew, verses 13 through 23. Hear the word. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for this, your word, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life. We pray through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. It's a joy to worship with you on this first day of a brand new year. The old year is behind us, the new year is out in front of us, and all things are possible. However, as we celebrate the story of Christmas, we're confronted with the trauma of suffering, death threats, and persecution. Scripture reminds us that it was into that kind of world that Jesus came, a hostile world, a world that didn't really want him, a world that wanted to kill him. In the Gospel of Matthew, the Holy Family was forced to escape to Egypt to avoid death by King Herod. Isaiah the prophet gave some indication of this, speaking of the adverse conditions faced by Jewish exiles in Jerusalem. He recounts the many times Yahweh blessed the nation, even when the people of Israel were being persecuted. Hebrews 2 tells us there was a good reason for Jesus' suffering, by the way, our salvation. That's why he suffered. Hebrews accentuates the point that Jesus identified with humanity by means of the incarnation. And on this Sunday, following Christmas, we hear a story that tells us that we are born into a hostile and threatening world, just like Jesus. The world that we live in is not very different than the first century world of Jesus, but God is still with us, and God protects his people. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt," said the angel of the Lord, who appeared to Joseph in a dream. When I first read that line, I think to myself, well, they're just running away. This is the Son of God born. Couldn't God call legions of angels to come and protect his son from an evil despot King Herod. If Jesus is the Messiah, then why should he run from a worldly king? There is a time to stand and fight, and there's a time to escape to security. When Jesus was grown, his friends urged him to flee from Herod. Another Herod, Herod Archelaus, not Herod the Great, which is the Herod who was after him in our story today. And Jesus refused to run at that time. He said to his disciples, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal." In this case, escaping to Egypt was the right thing to do. There was no way at that time to oppose Herod, but Jesus knew that the day would come when Herod would be out of the picture. In World War II, MacArthur had to escape from the Philippines, but he returned later to conquer. "Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him," the angel further told Joseph. The king was determined to kill the baby Jesus. We can only speculate that it was because of jealousy, that he was afraid that it would detract from his own prestige and power for there to be a competing king in the country. It's a hostile world into which we are born, a world that is out to get us, maybe not in the severe, violent way Herod was out to get Jesus, but just think about the world into which our children are born nowadays, a world of pornography, child pornography, a world of child abuse, by parents, by other adults in a child's life. It is a rough and tough world, a world with tyrants, murderers, and molesters waiting for our children. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." The time of threat has passed. The Holy Family stayed in Egypt until Herod died. Since I visited Egypt, I know Egyptian Christians are so very proud to have been the safe and secure place that Mary, Joseph, and Jesus went during this period. The Christian church in Egypt can tell the story about all of the places they visited in the land of Egypt while there. The Holy Family stayed, and we know that rulers come and go, but that God remains. Even though there are ruthless dictators on the earth today, we know that their life will pass away, much as Herod's life did. Where are those who frightened and cursed the earth in the 20th century, like Stalin and Hitler and Mussolini? They have passed. Things will get better. Just as Joseph, Mary, and Jesus were a refugee family escaping a violent dictator, refugee families today are looking for a safe home. A few days before Christmas, Jenny Yang wrote in Christianity Today about a Syrian refugee family who was recently resettled through World Relief, an organization that she works with. "I went with friends," Jenny wrote, "and looked forward to getting to know the family and having our kids play together. When I opened the car door, the Syrian father, Nadir, scooped up my one-year-old, David, and who started crying immediately. Feeling undeterred, Nadir hugged him warmly, bounced him up and down, and went inside to get him a toy bicycle to play with. In that moment, Nadir endeared himself to me and my family." Nadir is a Syrian political refugee who arrived in the United States in early September. He came with his wife, Ramya, and their four children, all of whom gladly share toys with my son. In fact, their girls think David is a little doll. They pick him up and carry him around, much to his horror. The Kassab family's kind, calm exterior masks their inner turmoil and pain. They come from an area in Syria called Dara, known as the cradle of the revolution, the place where protests sparked the beginning of the Syrian uprising in 2011. After a water tank behind their house was bombed and part of their home was damaged, Nadir and his family fled from Daraa into Jordan. Although Syria used to be the second largest host country to refugees, it's now the country that produces the world's most refugees. Americans sometimes generalize about immigrants like the Kassabs. As someone who works for World Relief, I see firsthand how negative stereotypes can affect refugees. A recently arrived Syrian refugee family told my colleagues they received a phone call from their family in Syria wondering if they were going to be deported. Another young Syrian refugee told us that his mom, still a refugee in Turkey, advised him not to go out of the house for fear he would be harassed or arrested. Refugees like these and many others find themselves struggling to understand the language, put their kids in school, find a job, find medical help, all the while grieving the conflict that devastates their faraway homeland. The Kassabs, for example, take two of their children to the hospital every month for blood transfusions and live with daily fear that their kids won't live long. They find support from local church volunteers who take them to the hospital, teach them English, offer assistance. However, not all refugee families have this kind of help. The World Relief Office in Chicago recently reported only half of refugee arrivals are assisted by a local church, and no doubt the same holds true for other cities. Jenny says, after Christmas, the question is often asked, was Santa good to you? Then we tell of all the material gifts that we have exchanged or received, and this makes Christmas only a materialistic holiday. Instead, we should ask, was God good to you? That focuses on the spiritual gifts received at Christmas. And in Matthew's gospel that we read today, we can see how God was very good to his son. And God is good to us as well. This Christmas, as we experience the joy of buying gifts, baking cookies, hosting parties, we might consider inviting our refugee neighbors to join us. Scripture invites us to practice uncommon fellowship. And what better way to celebrate the birth of Christ than by welcoming strangers into our midst? Jenny concluded her article by saying, I saw the Kassab family a few days ago and brought the kids a few Christmas gifts. They ripped through the wrapping paper as Nadir and Ramya smiled, told them to slow down. Before I left their home, Ramya offered me a hug, grabbed my hands, gave them a tight squeeze. And in the freezing weather, she and her family stood in their slippers outside the house, waving goodbye as the kids ran after my car. In that moment, I was reminded that when I get to know refugee families like theirs, I don't do it out of pity or guilt or even charity. I do it simply because it's what Christ did for me. He welcomed me as an outsider into the fold of grace and declared that I am his. And I owe the same hospitality to others. Christian friends, as far as children are concerned, the world hasn't changed much in 2,000 years. From Herod's day to our day, children are still victims of violence. Christian people need to be made aware of this growing problem and take steps to relieve their suffering as far as is possible. Joseph proved to be a true friend of the Christ child and a servant of the Lord. What would have happened to the baby Jesus if Joseph had not been obedient to the angel's instruction? In today's world of cruelty and exploitation of children, God is still concerned about endangered little ones. He looks to his obedient servants to be the friends of afflicted children everywhere. Here is a profound truth. God's protection, God's compassion, God's safety is conveyed through people like you and me, ordinary Christian people. Let us be attentive to the voice of the angel and the voice of God. Amen.